Comparing China's rapid economic growth to our not-so-rapid economic growth.
Investing, renting, sending your kid to college? Listen to the Marketplace Money Podcast. Find it on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. China said this morning that its economy grew 9.2% last year. The gross domestic product figure is a measure of all the goods and services that make up a country's economy. Now, for comparison purposes, our economy was growing at a rate of less than 2% for most of last year. But as Marketplace's Rob Schmitz reports from Shanghai, it's not fair to make that comparison.
Some years, India's GDP growth runs neck and neck with China's. Sometimes economies like Paraguay's grow faster than China's. And according to economist Arthur Krober, here's why none of that matters.
What's significant about China is it's been growing at around 10% a year for 30 years in a row, which is the best growth performance that any country has ever had.
Any country ever. Back in its economic heyday 100 years ago, the U.S. economy was growing by around 4 or 5% a year. But Krober says that, too, is a dangerous comparison. That's because the U.S. was one of the first countries to industrialize. 100 years later, China finally got around to doing the same, and it inherited a lot of the know-how from the West.
So the later you come into the game, the more stuff you can just borrow or copy from the people who came before at very, very low cost. And that means that you can grow a lot faster.
But don't focus too much on growth, says Krober. Three decades ago, China's economy was small, but it was growing incredibly fast. Now, China's growth is starting to slow down, but its economy is the second largest in the world. So that means every percentage point of growth is worth exponentially more. In Shanghai, I'm Rob Schmitz for Marketplace.
We're just 4 days away from the presidential primary that could determine who the Republican nominee will be. I'm talking, of course, about South Carolina. Now, so far, we've heard from voters in Iowa and New Hampshire, both states that are doing pretty well economically compared with the rest of the country. But the jobs picture in South Carolina is one of the ugliest in the nation. 1 in 10 workers there can't find a job. And as Julie Rose reports, that's likely to be on the minds of voters this weekend.
You can find a pretty good sample of South Carolina voters in the parking lot of a dollar store these days. Nobody's willing to pass up a bargain with unemployment the way it is around here.
I have a master's degree, and I can't find a teaching position in South Carolina for anything. So,
Republican Katie Smith has been without steady work for the past 3 years. So, yeah, the economy is the big issue for her this election, but she's stumped about the primary.
I don't believe that there is a candidate that's going to do anything for our economy.
I just feel like there's no legit candidate that I feel like I can trust.
Hardly a ringing endorsement there from Jay Thurman, who's also a Republican. He's hung on to his sales job through the recession, but is worried about the national debt. The candidates are hitting all the right notes for South Carolina conservatives, promising to cut spending, limit regulation, and get people back to work. Polls show Mitt Romney in the lead, but more than a third of voters say they're still undecided or open to changing their minds before Saturday. I'm Julie Rose for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are higher in overseas trading this morning, up 1% right now in London, 1.5% in Paris, and 3% higher in Hong Kong. Also up, cognac sales. They hit a record last year, according to the LA Times. That's mostly thanks to booming sales in China. Wall Street was closed yesterday for the holiday. On Friday, the Dow fell 48 points to close at 12,422.
Looking for a good read? Visit the Big Book blog at marketplace.org. Listen to author interviews and read excerpts from the Marketplace bookshelf. Online at marketplace.org/thebigbook.
We'll get quarterly earnings this morning from Citigroup. And if you dig into the report, you'll probably find phrases like this one from last quarter. Quote, "The ongoing challenging macro environment negatively affected investor sentiment, leading to lower results in fixed income markets, equities, and investment banking during the quarter," which is to say all that money they lost wasn't their fault. Lucy Kellaway is a columnist for the Financial Times who compiles the best corporate mumbo jumbo each year. And she joins us now from London. Good morning.
Good morning.
So tell us about some of the winners in your annual list of corporate spin.
Well, there was a nice topical one on the best euphemism for firing people. And I awarded this to Nokia, who got rid of 17,000 people, saying it was managing them for value.
They don't want to say they're firing them or they're laying them off. They say managing for value.
Yeah, I must say, if I'd been managed for value, that wouldn't make me feel any better.
All right, so what else? Who else won this year?
Well, I gave the overall award to Manpower Group for describing itself in a way that I defy anybody to say what the company actually does. It goes like this. Our $22 billion company creates unique time to value through a comprehensive suite of innovative solutions that help clients win in the human age. Don't you love that human age as opposed to what? The dinosaur age?
That's right. Lucy, let me ask you. Why do they do this? Why do these corporations speak in this jargony way?
Well, I think they partly do because it's really infectious. It's like a disease. It's the way that teenagers say like all the time. Business people say going forward. But I think there's something else that actually nobody wants to get sued. No one wants to be held to account. So often if you're a CEO, saying nothing is actually makes rather a lot of sense. It's depressing, but true.
Lucy Kellaway is a columnist with the Financial Times. Lucy, thanks so much.
Not at all.
And finally, have you heard about Cupcake Gate? It's a brewing scandal in which a cupcake was confiscated at the airport in Las Vegas because of concerns about its gel-like icing. Well, the latest development in Cupcake Gate comes from Providence, Rhode Island. A bakery there has cooked up a cupcake to get through airport security. According to Time magazine, the TSA-compliant cupcake, as it's called, has exactly 3 ounces of frosting and comes in a clear, quart-size plastic bag. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.